No, I think he's coming.
Our recording is in progress. I want to say hello to everybody out there in the world and also to my friends who have been following this year, maybe not with us on Thursday nights, but take advantage of it through the great, wonderful, expansive YUTorah.org. And so, Bruchim Abraham, and thank you so much for all your comments as well. We get quite a number of our exciting comments that come in. Learning in the Shul this week is sponsored by the Feit family in memory of Mrs. Feit, Alel Shalom Nafi's mom. And we hope that the shir this evening will also be something that will serve as a zchus for Aliyas Neshama. Of course, the best zchus is children and grandchildren who are oskim b'Torah b'mitzvos, and that is certainly something that Mrs. Feit and Yibadol L'chaim Tovim Aruchim, Rabbi Dr. Feit, can take home to the bank. So tonight I want to talk about a biblical character who you don't find in any direct context in this week's Parsha. And yet, if you think about Parshas Vayigash, one of the top three names I think that we think about when we start talking about Parshas Vayigash is this woman. Because already at the youngest of ages, all your children in early childhood and grandchildren, you ask them, they will come home with some form of harp or some form of stringed instrument tomorrow, as they want to show off the fact that they know the medrash about Serach Bat Asher. This is such a well-known medrash that I was sitting in my father-in-law's house a number of years ago. My father-in-law is, of course, from Tayman, and in the context, he highlighted, or at least one of the sarim on the shelves, highlighted a piece of poetry that I want to quote to you from Sipurei Teiman, which is a description of the poetry of this week's Parsha. And the author says as follows, Saba Yaakov Yosef b'Mitzrayim. It's as if to say, Serach Bar Asher said, yeah, Grandpa Yaakov Yosef in Mitzrayim, no dulo shnei banim menashe v'Ephraim. V'hazakin mevakesh mimena lachzor al hashir od v'od. Sarach is sitting there plucking on the harp. Saba Yaakov Yosef b'Mitzrayim, no dulo shnei banim menashe v'Ephraim. And Yaakov is telling her, go over it again, saying it again. And throughout the process, each and every time she gets to the point, Yaakov Avinu repeats, Hechyet et ruchi, you brought comfort to my spirit. Hashem yichayel tachla netzach. Hashem should let you go ahead and let you live forever. So, of course, what is the reference here that Sipurei Teiman comes from? And of course, you have to remember the Yemenites didn't exactly have access to the same wealth of midrashim and midrashic sources that perhaps other Jewish communities did, just due to the way that the communities were divided. But this one certainly seems to have been very, very well documented throughout the Jewish world. I quote you from Bereishis Rabasi, but our kids have heard this story. Certainly we've heard it when we were young. Serach Bat Asher, what do we know about Serach Bat Asher? We know that Serach Bat Asher was a tzedekes from the beginning. When the brothers came back to Egypt, having found that Yosef was still alive, the Ruach HaKodesh that had disappeared from Yaakov, right? What happened? The Yaakov Avinu didn't have Ruach HaKodesh until the day that he heard that Yosef is still alive, and then he was able to say, to come to grips with the idea. So as a reward, the person who brought the news, in this case Sarach, was told, you should live forever. And the bracha came true, not just because Yaakov made it, but also because Sarach was a very, very special woman. She still continues to exist in Gan Eden, which of course asks the question and begs the question, who was this incredible woman, right? The truth is, there is a tremendous irony that if you ask most people what they know about Serach Bat Asher, right, they will tell you the story that we have just seen from Teiman, from the Medrash, right? She's the one who played the harp and then told Yaakov that Yosef was still alive. And yet, there's no mention of this episode in the Torah. Why? What is going on with her? And is she mentioned anywhere else? And also, I don't understand, what was her big role over here? that she gave some good news. For that, she gets to live forever. And what good is living forever in Gan Eden? What's the, you know, what's the spiel? What's going on over here? She got some good news. There's some good news. What's going on? So the truth is that the first time we meet Serach Bar Asher is in Sefer Bamidbar, in a totally irrelevant location. And where is that? We find her name being mentioned when the right before the land was to be divided, Bnei Yisrael go through a census in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, the second Aliyah Parshas Pinchas. And when we get up to the children of Asher, we mention all the grandchildren and all the families. And then we mention parenthetically, as you see in the source in front of you, B'shem Bat Asher Sarach, right? A daughter of Asher was Sarach, right? Now, we seem to be focused on the fact that we have Shem Bat Asher. The name of the daughter of Asher was Sarach. We don't note what should have been, right? We don't say the name of the children of Reuven were Chanoch, Paluk, Chetzon, and Karmi. We say the children of Reuven were Chanoch, Chetzon, and Karmi. And so, you know, when we say B'shem Bat Asher Sarach, when we start mentioning that the name was of Bat Asher, we seem to be highlighting the fact that her name seems more important than she was. So I have to ask, I'll go there. Well, why are we highlighting B'shem Bat Asher instead of highlighting, you know, that she was the daughter of Asher? What does that tell us about her? Was there a possibility she wasn't? Maybe she wasn't the daughter of Asher. That's crazy. The Torah says that she was. So why is Hashem Bat Asher? And by the way, since my dear friend Dr. Devorah Wenger is sitting in, I need to throw in the Wenger corollary. I'll go there. When the Torah specifically highlights Hashem Bat Asher Sarach, which is so out of character for a Torah style, then let's ask the obvious question that we were going to ask anyway. What does her name mean? Right, Dror, I see you nodding. So you're with me on that one. Right, it's even more so than any other week for the last 18 years. Right, even more so than any other week. This week, when we're talking about Sarach Bat Asher, and the Torah gives us the one piece of information, it's almost as if saying, "Look at this. Her name is Sarach." Okay, why? What does the name mean? And Rashi doesn't give us too much information over here. In fact, most of the commentaries here don't offer us a tremendous amount of information, or so it seems on the surface. Rashi tells us, "B'shem Bat Asher Sarach Lefisha Haita Kayemet B'Chayim Manakam." Since she was still alive, we count her over here, right? So I guess somehow she merits a personal mention. But why now? Why not before? I think that when she does something sort of critical for the future of the Jewish people and didn't kill off her grandfather, right, by springing the news that Yosef was still alive, I think we'd probably stick her name in over there. Oh, and in this week's parasha, we also have a census. Maybe we should stick her name over there, right? No, we wait until someplace in the middle of the desert. And Targum Yonos and Ben Oziel, you can read it in the Aramaic, or you can read it in the Keter Yonatan, and the reason Keter Yonatan is a Hebrew translation of the Targum Yonatan. And for those of you who study the Mishnah Yomis every day, the fact is that we noted that when you have something that's supposed to be written in Aramaic and gets translated into Hebrew, so the Hebrew translation of the Aramaic is less qualitative, which proves, well, my dear Dr. Avi Wenger, it's all connected. The fact that it all came up today, right? There we have it. So Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel brings down over here, Shem Bat Asher Sarach, Shenil Kecha B'Shishim Ribo Malachim. She went up, there were 600,000 Malachim who came and took her, but also the Gan Eden B'Chayeha Min B'Glal Shebisra Es Yaakov Shad Ata Yosef Chai. Right? The Malachim came together here. Why? Because she offered the information that Yosef was alive. Now, I think we probably should have had that in our parsha, in Parshas Vayigash. Why is it that she lasts this long just before the people go into the land of Israel, and then she goes into Gan Eden? Why are we highlighting it then at that point in time? And by the way, how do you know she went in at that point? Did she go in at that point? And if so, what is the uniqueness of that census versus this census? And, or maybe there's a commonality between them. Maybe there's something we're supposed to be taking into account. So you'll say to me, well, maybe it's not. Maybe there's just something about people who go into Gan Eden. Well, there's one of these smaller Masechtas called the Masechta Kala Rabasi, where the Masechta Kala Rabasi mentions parenthetically, Shiva Nichnasu B'chayein LeGan Eden, there were certain people who went into Gan Eden alive. Be'iluim, first on the list, is Serach Bat Asher. Batya Bat Paro, by the way, stays on the list. She goes in Chira Melech Tzor, right? I come to think of it, of the first three, we are now able to say we've done classes on all of them, right? Eved Melech Hakushi, Eliezer Eved Avram, and Ben Menosho Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and Yavitz, V'yishomer Avram Yeshua Ben Levi. Fine, that's all wonderful. But let's go back to the one we care about for this week, which is Serach Bar Asher, right? How do we know about Serach? So Serach, diksib ba, anochi shlome emunei Yisrael, right? I am the one who brings the peace of the faith of the Jewish people. What does it mean, shlome emunei Yisrael? Ani, says Serach, sheshlanti minyan hanechnasim legan edim. I am the one who completes the list of the people who went into Gan Eden. Now, to be perfectly honest, she's sort of in the middle of the list, right? Maybe Eliezer Eved Avram came before her, right? And Batya Bat Paro maybe went into Gan Eden before her. Maybe Hiram of Tyre went in before her. But certainly, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's kids seem to have gone in afterwards. So I don't understand what she means that she went in at that point, right? So what is it about when she goes in, and what is it tell us about her? We still have to figure out what her name's about, why she doesn't get specific mention over here. What's happening with her? One last point, and then we'll start to figure things out. There is a Chizkuni. The Chizkuni comes along and comments, V'shim bat asher Sarah chaya lo lomar u'bat asher Sarah. Her question, right? She should have just said that Asher's daughter was Sarah. Elanira de Hachikamar. So the Chizkuni says, maybe we're missing another piece of information. And what is that? Serach Hayala Shem Shahisa Bat Asher Lepisha Gadla Besoch Beso. Serach was not really the daughter of Asher. She had the name of being the daughter of Asher because Asher adopted her. Vahisa Nikre Sal Shemo Achin Loai Sabito Ela Bas Ishto. The truth is that Serach was the daughter of the wife of Asher, not the daughter of Asher. If you look at Unkelos, Unkelos seems to suggest that the name of the daughter of the wife of Asher was Sarah, right? So therefore, we don't know where she wound up getting born from. Right? We can't say that, you know, and we want to be able to highlight her and connect her to something. Eliyesh Lomar. So why do we connect her to Asher if there was no real biological connection? Eliyesh Lomar says, the Chizkuni, the Fisha Shma Yadua, Yai Bioter, Bemasim Tovim of Chasidus, Ksibba Vishem. What we mean to say when we say the name of the daughter of Asher was Sarah, was to tell us that what gave her the greatness of her name. She was known because she was a fantastic individual who did a lot of good maisim tovim and acted with a lot of piety. Thus, she was deserving of the title Bat Asher. Whoever the father was originally was obviously not a significant impact on her life. She was raised by the adoptive father and the Asher, and she deserved to be able to be credited with being one of his kids. In other words, v'shem kolomar v'shem hayidua v'achashuva, the thing that made her most known, beriditam leMitzrayim, mana sarach tchila v'shi yaisa alachia gedola b'shnayim v'cheinimnu b'shvil chalukas saaretz mana achrona v'shilonat lachelik ba. Right. The fact is, when in this week's parsha we're going to mention Sarach as one of the people who went down to Mitzrayim, she's going to be known before the children of Asher. Why? She preceded them. Asher married his wife after she had already had Sarah. And she's going to get mentioned at the end in Parshas Pinchas. Why? Because she didn't take a portion in the land of Israel And the importance of that mentioning of the people in the second census was to highlight what? Who's getting a portion in the land? So what do we know about Sarah? She's not the person who the Pasuk, at least on the surface, purports her to be. She is purported to be the daughter of Asher, but she's the daughter of Asher in nurture, not nature. He raised her. He gave her traits. He gave her a basis. She gave him a lot of nachas. She absorbed the lessons, and she gets to live forevermore. Okay. So then what happened between the time she's the daughter of Asher and the time that the Jews take the census? Do we know anything else about Sarah? And the answer is yes. Sarah comes up once again in a Midrashic source. In this case, it's a Gemara. But Sarah plays a critical role in Mitzrayim, right? And what role does she play? Moshe Rabbeinu had every responsibility. Yosef HaTzadik makes a declaration at the end of the book of Bereishis. He says, "Pakod yifkod Elokim eschem, v'ali semes atzmosai mizeh itchem." Right? God is going to redeem you from this godforsaken place, and you better take my bones with you. Right? So when Moshe Rabbeinu knew it was time for the Geula, it was time for the redemption, he knew he had to figure out and take Yosef's bones with him. Now, where was he going to find Yosef's bones? So, Uminayin Haya Yodea Moshe Rabbeinu Hechan Yosef Kabor. How is Moshe supposed to figure out where Yosef was buried? And the answer is obvious, Amru. They tell us, Sarach Bas Asher Nishtar Meoso Adar. Sarach Bas Asher was still around from the generation. She was at Yosef's funeral. Okay, it was 400 years later. So Halach Moshe Etzla, maybe 210 years later. Moshe Rabbeinu went to her. And Omar La, Klumat Yodas Hecham Yosef Kabur. Do you know where Yosef is buried? So Omar La, Arun Shomat Techas Asalo B'Mitzrayim, B'Kavu B'Nidlo Sanar. They made him a metal box, and they put it in the Nile. Why? Because as you'll see at the end of this week's parsha, whatever Yosef got involved in, it led to a bracha. And so the Egyptians, they were a superstitious bunch, and so they thought by putting him close to the Nile, Kadeshius Baruch Umeirav. They wanted to have the waters of the Nile be blessed because of Yosef. So Halach Moshe ve'amar al Sfas Nilus. Moshe went and stood on the banks of the Nile River, and Amar lo Yosef, Yosef, higia ha'et shenishba ha'kadosh baruch hu sh'ani go'el eschem, it's time for the Geula. Higia ha'shavua shezbata es Yisrael, im ha'tamara atzmecha muta, v'imlav ha'rei anu menukim yishvuasech. So he said, look, if you show yourself, then great, we'll take you with us. But if not, we're going to be exempt. And so what happened, says the Gemara? Right away it floated. Right, and the it floated. Miad Saf Arono Shel Yosef, Yosef's Aron started to float. Biatatama Heich Barzel Saf. Don't ask me how do you know that. How could it happen that iron or metal, which normally when it goes into water, what should happen? It should sink, right? Don't ask me how did it float. Shreik Siv Ahi Achad Mafil Akor Vesa Barzel Nafal Alamayim. Right, if there's something that's supposed to happen, right? It can float. So Sarah knew where Yosef was buried. So Moshe went to her to go figure it out. Somehow, we're supposed to pick up something about Sarah from here. So the answer is, what do you pick up? She was old, right? No. The Gemara is not telling us that just for us to know that Sarah was old. Because as Tosis points out in 7a or 7 Aleph, there were other people who were closer to Yosef who should have known exactly where he was buried, because the family plot should have been there. How do we know that? Because at the very, very end of Sefer Bereishis, we're told, "Vayar Yosef le'Ephraim b'nei Shilei Shim, v'gam b'nei Machir ben Menashe yuldu al birkei Yosef." So Machir and Yair ben Menashe were around at the time of Yaakov Avinu, and they also go into the land of Israel. So the bottom line is, and they were descendants of Yosef. Why go to Sarah instead of the descendants of Yosef? So Tosis offers the following answer, and I'm just going to highlight the part that I bolded for you. Yeshlomer shesoda geula nimser l'Sarach. The bottom line is that the secret of redemption was given to Sarah. There were others who might have known what where Yosef is supposed to be buried. But you know, the secret of knowing when to leave, that's up to the expert. Serach knew that. In fact, Yosef had descendants who decided that they were going to leave earlier, and Tosfos highlights this. About 30 years before the actual Geula, the children of Ephraim tried to sneak out and were destroyed in the process. And so therefore, why was Serach the best source of the information? There's something about Serach and Geula, right? And maybe we can hold on to that for a second, because maybe that will give us a tremendous insight into what Serach is and who Serach is and what she's all about. But she seems to be an individual who knows how to bring a person out of his own imprisonment. After all, what do we know about Yaakov Avinu? From the time that Yosef was gone, the Shechina, we said, the Ruach HaKodesh, disappeared from Yaakov until he said, Rav Yosef ben Chai. In essence, Yaakov Avinu lived in a prison. He had no connection to God. He was totally isolated. Who took him out of the prison? Who gave him the Geula? Serach Bar Asher. Here the Jews are on their way out of Egypt. Who brings the Geula to them? Once again, it's not necessarily the familial connection. It's the Chasidus and the Midos Tovos that come up in the personage of Serach Bar Asher. And so we see, once again, Serach becomes an important character for us to pay attention to in terms of understanding, you know, where we go, where and how we get to a process of Geula, right? And so if that's the case, let's try and see where we go at this point, because we find her one more time. She doesn't go up to Shemayim right away out of the land of Egypt. She actually winds up making her way into Eretz Yisrael. In Shmuel Bet, in Perek Chaf, the Jews were split, and they had all sorts of difficulties. And there were different challenges that existed. And David HaMelech found himself at different points in time being challenged and uprooted by his own people. Well, at one point in time, David HaMelech has to take revenge against somebody who is what we call Morid B'Malchus. We'll call him Sheva ben Bichri, just for the sake of the conversation. But in order to capture Sheva ben Bichri, Sheva ben Bichri hides out in a place called Avel Beis HaMacha. And of course, David's troops come and surround the city. And David had a general. And the general's name was Yoav. Yoav was David's general. So the psukim tell us in Shmuel Bet Perek Chaf, "Vayavo vayatzur alav ba'avela beis hamacha, vayishpachu solala alayir." Right, the people came. The soldiers came. They surrounded the city. "Vatamod bechel v'chol ame asher es Yoav mashchisim lahapil achoma." All the soldiers in the outside battalion, they kept telling Yoav, "Let us go and knock down the walls of the city. We're going to, you know, plunder the city, destroy it." So, Vatikra Isha Chachama min ha'ir, right? A certain wise woman cries out from the city, and she said, "Shemu, Shemu, Imru Nal Yoav, Krav Adhena Vadabraylas." She says, "Go, tell Yoav, right, that he should come close to here, and I want to speak to him." So, what does Yoav do? And here the critical psukim, she says, "Vayikrave leha." So Yoav comes close to the walls. "Vatomer ha'isha." The woman says, "Ha'ata Yoav." She says, "Are you the great general Yoav?" "Vayomer ani." He says, "Yeah, it's me." "Vatomer lo shma devrei amasecha." Right? She says to him, "I want you to hear the words of your maidservant." "Vayomer shomeanoch." He says, "I hear you. Go ahead, keep going." Here she goes. Pasuk Yudches, "Vatomer leimor, daber yidavru barishona leimor sha'al yishalu ba'eva v'chein hitamu." She says, go ahead and speak at the beginning to say you're going to ask what you want to ask. But you should just know something. Anochi shlome amunei Yisrael. Right? I am the one who brings the peace to the faith of the Jewish people. right? You, Yoav, want to go ahead and destroy a city. I'm a negotiator. I'm not any negotiator. I'm the person who goes ahead and when I negotiate, boy, I can do what I want to do, right? Atam evakesh lamit ir. You're going to go destroy a solid city? Why would you go ahead and swallow up the Nachala of Hashem? And Yoav backs off. He sees something about what this woman says. And he backs off. He says, no, I'm not going to go ahead. I'm not going to do that. You've got me wrong. I'm just looking for one guy. I'm looking for Sheva ben Bichri over here. If you go, why? Because he tried to attack David HaMelech. So if you give me Sheva ben Bichri, I'll disappear from the city. So the woman goes ahead and she provides Sheva ben Bichri. She had found him guilty, right? And she went back to the people in the city. They killed Sheva ben Bichri. They found that he was guilty, right? And they threw out his head out to Yoav. And the people gave up the siege. And Yoav went back to Yerushalayim to David HaMelech. Here we find this woman who said that she was Shlomei Amunei Yisrael. Now we saw that phrase tonight already, but just in case you missed it, Rashi in the next source tells us who was Shlomei Amunei Yisrael. Ani bin bnei Ha'ir sheshleimim bnei Amunei Yisrael. I'm a loyal person. But Medrash Agada Sarach Bat Asher Haita. She was Sarach Bat Asher. She said Ani Shlamti Neman LeNeman. Right, I brought back faith to the faithful. Right, Al Yada Nigla Arono Shel Yosef. It was through her hands, right, that they figured out where Yosef was to Moshe. And by the way, Ani Gadati the Yaakov Ki Yosef Chai. So somehow she shows up again in another critical moment in Jewish history. And what to do? What with the power of her words, she does what? She avoids a war. She avoids a whole city being destroyed. She turns around and she takes this idea of bringing redemption to a city that was under siege and giving Yoav what he needed. And I think that that's a tremendous, tremendous power that she has. What was it that she did that made her worthy of calling herself Shlomei Amunei Yisrael? Right? So the Radak says, right? He says the bottom line is what we do over here is we always ask first. Jews always try their best not to lead to war. By the way, this is one of the beauties of Jewish people, Ara Yom with Sahal. And Hashem should protect our chayalim. They do what they can, as opposed to all other nations of the world, to do the least amount of damage possible. Right? There's no such thing as, well, there are going to be casualties, but that's just a function of war. When it comes to Tzahal fight at a higher level. And that's what she does as well. Where does she come up with that issue? She uses that, and we learned that going back to Daber Yedabru Barishona. When it comes to us as people, we speak first. Jewish battles, it starts with Daber Yedaber. And Rashi makes this point in Koheles. Rashi says, Tova Chachma Miklei Krav. We say wisdom is more important than weapons, right? How is wisdom more important than weapons? So Rashi in Koheles says, Chachmata Shel Sarach, Sheneemar Vatavoa Yishar La'am Bechachmata, Amda Lahem Yoseh Miklei Krav. She says she used her wisdom and it protected more so than anybody else and any weaponry that the people inside Avo Beis Macha could have used to fight Yoav. She used ingenuity and language, and she was able to bring Geula within the process. Not once, not twice, but once again, the power of her words give her that sort of power to be able to achieve, right? And we see that's one of the great things that we find that Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says about her, that there were all sorts of powers in the world that set up the Sod HaGeula, and that Sod HaGeula went to Sarach Bar Asher, right? And Kshabo Moshe B'Aaron Eitzel Ziknei Yisrael V'Asu Osos Le'enehem. Right, when Moshe and Aaron first went in Egypt to Paro, to do the tricks, you know, they threw the stick on the ground and it turned into a snake. And then they stuck, you know, Moshe stuck his hand in and it turned white. And then he poured the water on the ground and it turned into blood. So hopefully, Tosarach Bar Asher. When they walked out and Paro said, yeah, cool tricks, but I'm not listening, they left dejected. And then when they went to Sarach Bar Asher, the people came and told Sarach Bar Asher, oh, these two guys came and they performed these great tricks, right? Kach v'kach, Amr Lahem. So Sarah says, oh, you saw those tricks? She says, yeah, ein ba'oso mamish. That stuff doesn't mean anything. Yeah, you know, we thought it meant nothing. This guy came along, he also said pakod yufkod. She says, whoa, what did you say? He says, yeah, they said, you know, pakod yufkod. Amr Lahem, hu ha'isha asid legolas Yisrael. It's not just what he does. He's the guy who just said the magic words. He's going to take the people out of Mitzrayim. Shekin shamati, right? Me'aba, pamachas, pakod yufkod. Right? That's what I heard from my father, from Asher. Asher told me, and he heard it from Yaakov, who heard it from Yitzchak, who heard it from Avraham Avinu, who got the message from God right away, that there is going to be a pakod yufkod. V'yad haminu am be'elohayem. Right? When Serach said, I'm not just interested in seeing actions. I'm interested in knowing the intention behind the action. I'm a woman of word. Pakod yufkod. God promises a geula. If a guy can come along and give us that message, that person has that ability. Serach knows the words of geula. She always knew the words of geula. That's one of the incredible things about her. Which is no big surprise to us, Devorah. Why? Because, as we're about to see in a second, as you might expect, it's in her name. The Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Ishchai from Iraq. So we went from Yemen to Israel. We went from Yemen to Egypt to the desert to Israel. Now we're back in Iraq, right? It's a nice, wonderful tour today. So he brings down the following from a Rav Antebi, who wrote a sefer called Na'avati Hilah, who quotes the following pasuk. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Rachash libi davar tov, my heart intuited a good thing. She'eshem kadosh v'no'ra shemo. There is one attribute of God that's quite incredible, and that name is Rachash. Rachash, resh chaf shin. And of course, without dots, it could be shin or sin, right? Hold on to that idea. You with me? Reish chav shin, reish chet shin, right? Dina, you see what I'm about to pull out of my hat, but it's not a magic trick. Sarah's gonna say it's real, right? V'hu migrasha migareish hachitzonim. This name, rachash libi davar tov, it gets us away from looking at side issues. V'tzorach lechavin bo v'sofei tevos memulach tor kodesh v'chol yom. When you say the words in the Ketores that it should be Memulach Tahor Kodesh, the last letter is Chet Resh Shin or Rachash. V'hu Tovu Mesugal Leschira. If you want to have a good memory, right? It'll help you to think of Rachash Libi Davar Tov. Not a shocker over there. Ready? Watch this. So we've got memory, Pakod Yivko, right? Something to think about, and we've got Rachash Libi Davar Tov. That has to be something stated. And by the way, if we reorganize the, I'll let Rav Antebi talk about it with through the Ben Ishchai. Because of Od B'Sefer Mekor Hashemo Sheshem Rachash Im Shem Tef Mefes, Maso Yaakov Avinu Labana B'Shas Peti Raso. Yaakov Avinu used these letterings when he, at the time that he passed, Kidei Laskiro Beis Tzara B'Yoshio. If you use this word, Rachash and Taf Memfei, right? It's a secret to save you when you're in times of difficulty. This is what the Ben Ishchai quotes from this Rav Antebi. Ubazepi Rashi b'siyata d'shmaya tam nachon lama shenemar b'pinchas shem bat asher Sarach. B'yish lavin lama period osadafka. Why do we say that her name was Sarach? Now reorganize the letters Sarach and watch. We spell it with a samach in the slang, right? But in the Torah, when we find her name, it's spelt with a sin, right? It says the Ben Ish Chai Yesh Lavin Lama Pirid Osa Davka Ve'od Havalei Lameimar Bat Asher Sarach U'Baze Muvan Shehi Zachsa Zechia Gedolo Likari Sarach Shuosio Shema Kadosh. You have to understand, Sarach had this magic power. It was in her name, tucked in those names. And it was this magic power. Look at her name. Inside Sarach Bar Asher, you will see she has Rachash Libi Davar Tov. She has this sense that she holds on to something big. What does she hold on to? Pakod Yifkod, the secret of Geula. But it comes with not Maase Tov, but rather Davar Tov, Davar from the language Dibur. Sarach Bar Asher, an incredible individual. And in fact, this leads us to certainly appreciate who she was. In fact, this, the concept of Sarach only appears one other time in the Torah, right? And it's in a totally irrelevant location, where when we talk about the building of the Mishkan, we find the word Sarach once again. We're told V'serach ha'udef b'riyos a'o'el, chatzia yiriyah ha'udefres tisrach al acharei ha'mishkan. That when we have the awnings, the tapestries that went on top of the heichal, right? We had the tapestries that were there, right? So there is supposed to be parts that hang off half this way to the east, half that way to the other side. That is called the Sarach HaOdef, the remnant, right? What does that remnant have to do with Sarach Bar Asher? Says the Alshech, Sarach HaOdef Tisrach Al Achorei HaMishkan, V'zeu Bein Mizrach LaMarav. The extra piece goes from east to west. Ki Letzad Marav Asher Shama Shechina, Asher Shamhu Remez L'Masha Bein Adam L'Makom, Yia Be'Chaveh. Right? When you're dealing with your issues between man and God in the West, is, you know, as you go into the Mishkan from east to west, right? The leftover overhang brings you closer to God. It reminds you of the Bein Adam Lamakom. Ach Mashahu Litzad Mizrach Shasham Hechnisam Libnei Adam Shebo Yirmaz Masha Bein Adam Lachaveiro Nemar Mupnei Aol Shia Befarhesia. There is no leftover peace when you're Bein Adam Lachaveiro. Bein Adam Lachaveiro things. There is no overhang. There is no hiding. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is open, just like Sarach. When Sarach had to do things in the open, when she put something out there for the sake of Bnei Yisrael, she stepped out and she spoke up. When it was between Bnei Yisrael and God, she let the people come to her. When it was Shlomei Amunei Yisrael to save Jews from killing Jews unnecessarily, then she comes out, because that's what a Sarach does. So who is Sarach Bar Asher in the end? My dear friends, Sarach Bar Asher is a person who doesn't step out to scream out big time messages to, for her own personal glory. In fact, the great thing that she does that gives her Olam Haba, she does and she receives as a quiet practice. It's in her name, Sarach HaOdef. That practice doesn't have to be publicized, and so the Torah doesn't give it to us. But when it came time to tell us about the Geula, that was Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. That was what inspired a nation. When it came time to Shlomei Amunei Yisrael, that was a time to save a nation and bring them the Geula. And so we have, like the Wenger's picture, flipped ourselves upside down. We come out with a picture of a... I see you guys upside down on my screen, right? We come out with a person. It's fine. It's all good. We come out with a picture of a person who lives the life of her name. The name doesn't describe her. She describes the name. Rachash Libi Davar Tov, a woman who used the power of her words to always bring about a message of Zechira and Geula. And she becomes an essential link for us to be able to go from the individuals of the Sefer Bereishis to the model of nation building that will carry us further into the book of Shmos as well. That is Sarach, my dear friends. And that is our share for this particular week. Anyone want to bring any questions out and about? I'm happy to do that. If you want, I can also do it this way.